peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. There's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
In the Old Testament, the temple was the dwelling place of God. Well, since Christ came as a sacrifice for sin, he has made it possible for God to live in our hearts. So when we see Jesus in John chapter 2 cleansing the house of God in the temple and turning the tables of the money changers as they failed to see the purpose of the temple. Pastor Pancho will be teaching us that on today's program of On the Level Radio. As we continue our studies in the Gospel of John, we'll do some house cleaning today in John chapter 2, coming up next.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
And now with today's program of On the Level, here's Pastor Pancho.
Jeremiah chapter 7. What Jesus did in the temple was nothing new. We have a prophet by the name of Jeremiah who did the same thing. The people of God had become very religious. Religious outwardly, but inwardly, they were all full of hypocrisy. The people of God. In the time of Jeremiah, outwardly they were worshiping God, but inwardly they will go up to the hills and they will worship their foreign gods. Most of the foreign gods were sexual gods. They had to do with their fantasies and their passion and the things of the sexual promiscuity. These were the gods of the Canaanites. The gods of the Canaanites were basically religions that were based upon fertility and sexual orientation. And thus, it was very entertaining because it fed their carnal desires. And they were worshiped up in the hills. But however, when it came to the Sabbath, when it came to a holy day, the religious people would come to the temple and they would come and they said, "Oh, Jehovah God, we love you." But inwardly, they will leave Jehovah God and they will do their own misdeeds. God sent Jeremiah. "Jeremiah, I want you to go to the temple of God." Jeremiah had to go to the temple of God and had to go in the temple of God. And the temple of God was crowded, congested with so many pilgrims during that time. And Jeremiah looked like a 5150, like a nut. And he had to go up. "Hey, amend your ways, people. Amend your ways." They will come to the temple of God to worship God. But God knew in their hearts that they were not worshiping Jehovah God. It was just a cultural, traditional thing to worship God. But inwardly, they were worshiping the gods of the people and not God. So Jeremiah was sent there. And when he went to the temple, they were having merchandise. They were selling everything. It became a place of merchandise. It did not come, forgive me, it was not a place of forgiveness. When you look at the temple, when it was dedicated in 2 Chronicles by Solomon, the Bible says that he dedicated this place. He says, "Lord, this place would be a place where your people can come and confess their sins. And Lord, when they pray, please forgive. When they come to this house, Lord, and they request their petitions, Lord, answer their prayers." It was supposed to be a house of prayer, a house where they can worship God. But during the times of Jeremiah, it became a place of commerce. People were making a merchandise out of the temple of God. And so Jeremiah was sent. My reason in showing Jeremiah is because when you see the book of John, chapter 2, verse 13, you see that Jesus did the same thing. He went into the temple and he says, you have made my Father's house a place of merchandise. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. So you see that there was a relevance there, There was a parallel there. And so the Jews, when they saw Jesus scourging everyone and getting him out of the temple, they were asking him, by what authority do you do this? What sign can you give us that you come in the name of God? And so Jesus said, you destroy this building and I will build it up in 3 days. John makes a commentary that he says afterwards, because John wrote the Gospel of John around 30, 40 years after Jesus had ascended into heaven. He says, and we remember that Jesus said that. He says, and he was talking about his body, the temple of God, his body, not the temple itself. And so you see that as today we have many people. I hope and I pray and I desire and I covet that all of us here at Montebello Calvary Chapel, we would not be like these people, that we would just say, we repent and we say, God, forgive me. I am that kind of a person I don't want to be anymore. That we will turn from our sins, turn away from our flesh. In the same way, in chapter 7, we have the people of God being religious, culturally, socially, biologically. They're just religious people. They go to the temple of God, but God sent Jeremiah, go and stand in front of the temple. And you can imagine thousands of people in the temple. And here's Jeremiah in the entrance of the temple. And there he stands. And God sends him to send him this message. Notice verse 1 of chapter 7 of Jeremiah. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say to them, hear the word of the Lord, all of you of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. The word amend basically means take care, change, transform, consider, and do otherwise. Amend your thinking, amend your ways, amend your philosophy, amend your tradition. In other words, change, amend it. And then he says in verse 4, do not trust in this lying word saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. What does that mean? Three times the temple of the Lord. Well, they felt that as long as they went to the temple of the Lord, oh, as long as I go to the temple of the Lord, oh, the temple of the Lord, I'm okay. As many people come to the church, and many people think, if I just go to church, the church is just a building. It's a structure to keep us safe from the elements. This is a shell. This is the body of Christ right here. We are the body of Christ. And so Jeremiah says, amend your ways. Verse 4 says, do not trust in these lying words saying the temple of the Lord. Verse 5, for if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, and if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Would you steal? Would you murder? Would you commit adultery? Would you swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? And then come and stand before me in this house, the house of God, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Jeremiah just asked this horrible question. He says, would you commit fornication? Would you commit adultery? Would you rob? Would you commit transgressions and come to the house of God and say, oh, Lord, you know, you approve of all these? That's not right. And Jeremiah is asked by God to ask them. Verse 11, has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord, but go now to my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. So God tells Jeremiah to tell the people, look what happened to Shiloh. Well, Shiloh. Shiloh was a place where God met the people of God. But God, in his anger because of the people's refusal to walk with him, he destroyed Shiloh. And God said, just as I destroy Shiloh, I will destroy this place. They thought because this was a temple of God, this is the place of God, God is not going to destroy it. So as long as I come to the house of God, I'm safe. And God says, look what happened at Shiloh. I destroyed that place. And you know what happened to this place? It was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. He razed the whole temple. He pulverized it to the ground. There was nothing left. And the people of God said, this is a safe place, the house of God. No one can destroy this place. But God said, look what happened at Shiloh. Just as what happened at Shiloh, I will do the same thing here. And he did. Now, when we turn to John chapter 2, Jesus did the same thing. He will go to Jerusalem, and he found the same thing happening again. Turn with me to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 13. According to the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, three times a year, the Jewish males were supposed to go to this pilgrimage feast. If you were able to make it, there's a word called diaspora. Diaspora. That means the people there are basically scattered. The Jewish people, they never had a home after 70 AD. They were disrupted. The Jews did not have a home. The Jews were living all over the world without a nation, without a land. And they're called the diaspora, D-I-S-P-O-R-A. And so they were all scattered all over the world. And so wherever they were at, they will come on the three feasts that were recommended in Deuteronomy chapter 16. It was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, known as the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Those what we call feast, festival, pilgrimage. All the male Jewish men were to come to the house of God if they were within distance. Some travel from the island of Crete. Some travel from Egypt, Alexander, Egypt. Some travel from Rome, and they will become pilgrims, and they will go up to worship God on these three feasts. Jesus, of course, being Jewish, he lives up in Galilee. And we are told by John that he attends three Passovers. John is the only one to tell us that there are three Passovers. In John chapter 6, verse 4, that's the second Passover. In John chapter 11, verse 55, that's the third Passover that Jesus attended. So, as a Jewish adherent to the festivals, he goes from Galilee. And every time you hear the word, he went up to Jerusalem, it means he's going to Jerusalem. Every time you hear that word, he went down from Jerusalem, it's obviously going away from Jerusalem. So, from Galilee in the north, Jesus comes south to go to Jerusalem, to go as a Jewish male, to go and celebrate the Passover, celebrating what Exodus chapter 12 speaks about, the Passover. When the angel of death passed over and killed the firstborn, and that was the plague that destroyed the back of the Egyptian and the Pharaoh's army. After so many plagues, that was the last one. It says the Passover will come. And the Jews, they were told by God, listen, the angel of death will pass over every house, and it will kill every firstborn. To avoid the angel of death visiting your house and killing your firstborn, I want you to get a lamb that is clean with no blemishes and no broken bones. Slaughter the lamb. And when you slaughter the lamb, and before you roast it, take the blood of the lamb, go outside your door in the lintel, and put blood on top, and on the left and on the right, signifying the cross of Jesus Christ. He says, when you put that blood of the lamb, when the angel of death passes over your house, it will not kill your firstborn. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 12 that the angel of death passed over. And those who did not have blood, how simple would that be? just put blood on outside your door, and the angel of death would pass over. How simple that is. But people did not believe that. Some people said, you know what, that's so simple. Why should I put blood? Because God asked to put blood. All you have to do is get blood and put it on your door. One, two, three, and the angel of death would pass over. People did not want to do that. Like today, we ask people, would you like to receive Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world? And people say, no, I don't know what it takes. I don't want to do it. Why not? Oh, it's not my religion. It's not what I do. And they're so reluctant to accept Jesus Christ. And thus, the Lord said to the people of Israel, after the people were saved and they left Egypt, he said, I want you to commemorate this day for the rest of your days. Teach your children about this day, the Passover, and I want you to attend and celebrate the Passover. And thus, every Jew, to this day, Passover is celebrated by our Jewish friends. Jesus went to celebrate the Passover to Jerusalem like a male Jew. But when he went to the temple, he saw the merchandise. He saw the money changers. He saw what was going on, and they had made the house of God a merchandise. You see, in the Kidron Valley, there the Gentiles will make money out of the people, the pilgrims. They will not take their own lamb because it was hardship to take their own sacrificial animal. They will come from Egypt. They will come from Crete. They will come from Greece. They will come from Rome. And they will bring their coinage. Like today, when you go to a different country, you got to get euros. You got to get francs. You got to get pesos. You got to get dinars because you have to exchange the money. And so when they got to Jerusalem, the people had their money from different parts of the world. And you could only go into the temple of God and use the Palestinian half shekel. So there were people that were there as money changers, but they will gouge the people. They will burn you like they burn you today. You go to people and say, hey, I want to exchange my dollars into pesos. And they swindled you because they get some commission out of it. But this was gross gouging. The people would come, pilgrims would come, and they had their Roman money with images. And they would trade it in for Palestinian half shekels called the temple tax. And then they had goats and they had lambs. They had birds or doves. And they will guarantee you that those doves, those animals, would not have any blemish at all. And they were only approved by the priesthood. So let's say you travel with your own little lamb. You say to yourself, you know, I don't want to pay that exorbitant amount of money because they charge you, they gouge you. So you take your little lamb with you. You come all the way from the mountains, the Taurus Mountains of Turkey, and you come and you go in a boat and you go through Tyre, and then you get into a caravan, and you finally make it to Jerusalem, and you have your little lamb that you're going to sacrifice. And when you get to the temple, the priesthood, they examine it, and they exaggeratedly say, your lamb is infected. It has fleas. You cannot be accepted. You have to buy one from our own. And it was a priesthood that were making money. And thus you say, but my lamb is okay. And the priest will say, no, your lamb is not good. You have to go and buy one of our own. And thus they were making money. They were in the Valley of Kidron, but somewhere along the line, they brought it in to the Temple Mount in a place called the Place of the Gentiles, the Court of the Gentiles. It was in the southern part of the temple. No one who is not Jewish was allowed to go into the temple of the Jewish people. There was a sign. It says that anyone who is not Jewish passing this line will be killed. And you were not allowed. The Gentiles were allowed to go there and pray because God made it an edict that anybody who can come to the temple of God and they can pray. But they were not allowed to go to a certain area. There was the court of the Gentiles. And there in the court of the Gentiles were people making merchandise. People were selling. They were selling and conniving. And people were just doing a traditional thing. Jesus goes into the temple. And he sees the merchandise. And he does the same thing as Jeremiah. Notice chapter chapter 2, verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. So you're talking about an individual that went crazy. He went ballistic. He basically went crazy on them. You don't see sweet Jesus. How do you overturn the tables? How can you be holy and turn tables? Excuse me. You understand? He made a whip of cords. In other words, it wasn't a whip to whip people. It was symbolic. He took this, the whip of cords, and basically began to whip people, but not to hurt them. It was symbolic. And he said, what are you doing? This is my Father's house. This is supposed to be a house of prayer. This is supposed to be a house where you can come and ask for your sins to be forgiven. This is not a place for you to clean your conscience, say, I can be in the flesh, but I come to the temple of God so I can get the healing, so I can get the blessing and leave, and then live like hell for the next 7 days. And that's what many people do today. They come to the church of God, they go out there and live like hell. And then they come to the church of God thinking, well, I'm coming to the church of God so I can get a healing. And it's so tragic. And there's people that they're just walking in the flesh, thinking if like the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, this ain't gonna help you. It's the reality in our hearts. So when Jesus walked into the temple, he saw the merchandise. People were gouging people, were taking advantage of people. The people that were representing God obviously were not representing God at all. They were making money out of the things of God. And that has been the plague of the church. People making money. You ought to see how many letters I get. They give me letters and they send me letters on how to generate money. We have what they called, motivational speakers. And they come, they want to come talk to you about motivational and how to make you miserable, how to give to the church. And they challenge you. But basically what they do, they make you feel uncomfortable and miserable for you to give. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. God doesn't want to make you miserable so you can give. God wants to make you joyful and peaceful to live in harmony with him so that you may understand the good news of Jesus Christ. He died for you and he loved you and he has a plan for your life. Amen? That's what he wants and nothing else. And thus people say, well, I want to make something else of you. And God says, no, I want to do something in your life. Just don't live hypocritical. You come to the house of God. You come to the house of God to lay your burdens. This is what the house of God is for. You come to the house of God and say, God, I have problems. My marriage is not working. I'm sick. I'm on dialysis. I have to go to the doctor. Maybe I have cancer. My marriage is not working. My children are not walking with God. I may lose my business. I may lose my home. God, I may lose my marriage. I come to the house of God to believe and ask for mercy and kindness. Lord, forgive me. That's what the house of God's supposed to be for. This is not a place where you can come and relieve your conscience by living in the flesh. This is not what it's for. This is a place where we can come to the house of God, worship him, and ask God, God, forgive us, for we're sinners. Forgive us of our sins. Bathe us in your precious blood. Give us the insight. What would you want us to do? May we have the hope and the encouragement for the future and for tomorrow. That's something that the world cannot have. We could because of God. We may not know about tomorrow, but we worship him who holds tomorrow. What a wonderful knowledge to have.
Well, there's nothing like having a good house cleaning, and that's what we've been learning today on this edition of On the Level Radio, as Pastor Pancho has been teaching us the cleansing of the temple, why Jesus did that, as we've been looking at John chapter 2. And of course, there's still much more to learn in the Gospel of John, which we'll do on our next program of On the Level. I hope you can join us then. Well, for the latest news and information, to know anything and everything about our ministry here at the Ark Montebello, as well as being able to review this study again, Simply go to our official website. That's where you will find everything you need to know about us, all the social media links, as well as being able to hear this study again. Simply go to our website at thearkmontebello.com. That's thearkmontebello.com. It's there also. You can learn more about getting our ARK app, the free mobile app that we have available, by simply going to our website at thearkmontebello.com. And then please make it a point to join us for our next program of On the Level with Pastor Pancho Juarez.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
On the Level Radio is brought to you by the ARK Montebello in California.